welcome to the Royal Rumble Roulette. I'm Kevin Huntsberger, host of My 123 Cents, the podcast. I'll be joined in just a few moments by a very special guest co-host as we break down a classic Royal Rumble and set to make My 123 Cents history. Welcome to the podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 123 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, episode 219 here of My 123 Cents, the podcast, and doing something a little different. I talked last week about adding some guest co-hosts, and I'm doing that this week for the very first ever Royal Rumble Roulette, and it's pretty simple, but I'm going to bring the guest in real quick first, and that is Luke Lay. Luke, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Kevin. I appreciate the invite.
So we are obviously recording this before the 2019 Royal Rumble. So as you're listening to this post-2019 Royal Rumble, Luke and his wife, Amy, have been longtime wrestling fans and have actually throw a kick-ass Royal Rumble party every year. And I went to the 2018 party. I'll be there for the 2019 party. It is a blast. It is a good time. So, Luke, talk a little bit about your fandom and how you and Amy came to start hosting these great Royal Rumble parties.
Oh, sure. Well, thanks for putting me over. I'm glad you had a good time. Looking forward to tomorrow. Basically, my fandom started as a kid in the 80s. And I think, like all the other kids my age, got swept up in the wave that was Hulkamania.
Absolutely.
Started watching, and it was probably 88. It was around the time of WrestleMania 4.
Okay.
And I think it was a Saturday night's main event that got me hooked, never to look back. So I watched it ever since. Kind of waned the last couple of years, but I still keep up with it through, The Observer and various other websites. But as far as the party goes, we started this way back in 2002.
Wow.
We had some co-workers of mine that were big wrestling fans. We'd always get together for the pay-per-views. And time came for the Rumble, and we thought, let's make this a little bit more interesting. So I think we each threw in $5, scribbled down 1, 2, 30 on a piece of notebook paper, cut them up and put them in a hat, drew the numbers out. And just back then, the way it worked was whoever had the winner won, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we've kind of tweaked the rules here and there. We've added points just to kind of make it a little bit more interesting. Yeah, this will be, I guess, the 17th one coming up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to it.
So you also have kind of a rarity, in my opinion, and that is a wife who is a wrestling fan. My wife, back in the early days, and she's actually been on an episode of the podcast, and we talked about it, but, back in my college days, for some reason, and this was during that downtime, and actually part of what we're going to talk about today in WWE and in wrestling in general, where fandom had kind of dropped off, and most of my friends were fans when they were kids but had stopped watching it as college students. So my wife had the daunting task of being drugged to house shows and Raw tapings and all this and that. But then once I met Chad here in Southern Illinois and other wrestling fans, she's like, okay, you're on your own now. So tell me about Amy's love for wrestling, because that is a rare find, I think, these days.
Oh, yeah. I consider myself very fortunate. She's been a fan ever since she was a kid, too, although, and she can tell you the story better than me, but I know she had to stop watching after Earthquake squashed Damien. I guess she cried so hard that her parents said, okay, that's it, no more, you're not watching this anymore. It was funny, when we first started dating, she had no idea that I was such a big wrestling fan. I didn't know she watched wrestling, and I don't know how it got brought up, but she had mentioned to me that she watched pro wrestling. I kind of made fun of her. You watch pro wrestling? And little did she know. So then I showed her, my tape collection. And we got off on the right foot. And like I said, I consider myself very fortunate. She puts up with the addiction.
Yeah, and like I said, you guys host a really kick-ass party, so it's always a good time. So basically, when Luke volunteered to be a co-host, we talked about, because they have this great Royal Rumble party, I'm like, I want to bring in somebody who has a love and passion for the Royal Rumble. So what is it about the Rumble that you like so much that you continue to do this party year after year?
Oh, sure. The Rumble was always my favorite pay-per-view of the year. I think it just stems back from, going back to the 80s. You rarely saw, good guys and bad guys fight each other, basically, for lack of a better word. They always tended to stay on their side of the fence, which, going back to WrestleMania 4, it was kind of predictable. You kind of knew what was going to happen. Well, so-and-so won this match. Well, he's going to go up against the bad guy. So, you can kind of see what was coming.
Yeah.
The Rumble was always unpredictable. You can get guys in the ring that you would never normally see go up against each other. And that was always the appeal to me. So I always looked forward to it. And that's just how it all came about.
Very good. So what we're doing here with the Royal Rumble Roulette is I have 10 questions, and Luke, because of his party, has, like I said, when I say kick-ass party, I'll post some pictures on the page here. They go all out. They have the tumblers, that the numbers in it, so they crank that up, and everybody gets a number when they get to the party. And so we're going to do that concept, but on a smaller scale. We're not going to do 30 questions, but I have 10 questions/talking points for this podcast, and to mix it up and make it more Royal Rumble fun. Luke's going to turn the crank on the tumbler and draw a number out, and as he draws a number, I'll read the corresponding question or talking point, and we'll just have a discussion. So hopefully this works out and people enjoy it. So I thought it was a fun and kind of different, innovative way to reach the talking point. So Luke, whenever you're ready, and we had predetermined, I guess I didn't say which Rumble we're talking about. I threw out some options for Rumbles, and we thought the 1992 Royal Rumble, I think it goes without question, is if it's not everyone's, it's just about everyone's favorite Rumble, and it has been talked about, ad nauseum a lot of times. So we threw in some early 90s Rumbles and late 80s Rumbles, and we chose one out of that, and we ended up with the 1994 Royal Rumble, which is ironic because this is the 25-year anniversary. Is that 25-year anniversary? I'm trying to do math in my head here, of that event. And it's also a couple weeks ago when I had Ryan Bowman on. He talked about this Rumble as being, besides the 92 Rumble, this was his favorite Rumble match. So, Luke, without any further ado, why don't you draw our first number for us?
All right, let's do it.
Lucky number seven. All right. What current superstar would you have put against Yokozuna for the WWE Championship match? At the 94 Rumble, of course, Yokozuna was the champion, defending against The Undertaker in a casket match. So Yokozuna ends up getting the victory with the help of a lot of outside assistance from all the bad guys. Essentially, just about every heel on the card came out and helped put Undertaker in that casket. So, Luke, since you're the guest, if you're ready, I'll let you answer first. Who on the current roster would you have put in a WWE Championship match against Yokozuna? And it doesn't have to be the gimmicked casket match, because that was obviously something suited for The Undertaker.
Sure. Oh, boy, the current roster. Let's see. Yokozuna, I think, you know what? Let's go 180 here from Yokozuna. Let's do Finn Balor.
Nice.
That'd be interesting to see.
Very nice. Yeah. Would you do the demon, or would you just do regular old Finn Balor?
Oh, you have to do the demon on a big show. You have to. No, I think it'd be fun to see Finn fly around Yoko, see what that would have been like.
That's a really good choice, and I went in a kind of a different direction with someone who is you know, that hoss fight, if you will, and that is Braun Strowman, because, you know, they've built him up as such this giant beast of a guy, and seeing him in there against Yokozuna, it obviously would not be a technically sound match, but it would be, you know, those two behemoths going at it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and so, and I know we're as people are listening to this, it will be post-Rumble, but do you think, what do you think Finn's chances are against Brock Lesnar at the 2019 Royal Rumble?
Boy, I would love to see Finn bring the Universal Championship home, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think it would be amazing and would open up so many new possibilities, but I just don't see it in the cards at this point, at least. So.
Yeah, I see Lesnar headlining WrestleMania. I don't see it any other way. Yeah. I would love to be wrong, but I just think that's how it's going to turn out.
And that is kind of the fun thing, too, about the Rumble, is they do kind of sometimes throw us these swerves, which are curveballs, which the outcome and the finish, and I have questions related to the finish of this Rumble, so we'll talk about those in a bit. But, yeah, there is always that unpredictability factor sometimes as well. So why don't you give us our second question?
All right, here we go. And it is number 5.
Number 5. What superstar from the 1994 Royal Rumble would be most likely to win the 2019 Royal Rumble?
Oh, boy.
So lots of superstars to choose from, although the thing about this Rumble match itself was there were only 29 competitors in it because Bastion Booger, for some reason, did not show up. Yeah, he got a little sick, I guess, backstage. So of the 29, and you know, you had your favorites like Lex Luger and Randy Savage, Doink the Clown, Bam Bam Bigelow, Mabel, Shawn Michaels, who was still kind of new into his heel turn, Bret Hart, Rick Martel, Greg Valentine was still around in the WWE. I kind of forgotten he was still there in 94. I was surprised to see him. And then they brought in some outsiders like the Great Kabuki and Tenryu from Japan. Marty Jannetty, a young Bob Holly, a sparky plug, was in there.
Yeah, I think it's his debut, right? Or pay-per-view debut. Anyway.
I believe you're right. Yeah, I think it was.
Let's see. Boy, that's a tough one. I don't know. I always got to go back to Bret Hart.
Yeah.
You know, although, I don't know, Macho Man, you can't go wrong with either of those two.
Yeah, I was leaning toward Macho Man. I think, you know, there was just, you know, obviously by 93, 94, you know, Savage would end up leaving shortly after, you know, later this year to go to WCW. And I really think that in this era, there was several missed opportunities with Savage as being an in-ring performer still. And there were reports that have come out in the past year where he had talked about wanting to work with Shawn Michaels, who was at this time still kind of young and developing in that singles role. And,
right.
You know, Savage would have been
established yet.
Yeah, Savage would have been a great partner for him in the ring in that capacity and help kind of, you know, Shawn obviously succeeded and did very well. But I can't imagine what additional rub he would have gotten had he been in there and had that opportunity with the Macho Man.
Yeah, it's too bad we never got to see that. That would have been something. I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why don't you give us question 3?
Question 3. All right. Number 9.
Number 9. Well, I guess it would help if I scrolled down here. Okay. What legend in this era would you have liked to have seen added to the Royal Rumble match? Now, every year it seems that, you know, probably the last 10 or 15 years, WWE has always brought somebody back. Usually a lot of them have come from that Attitude Era. There was the one year that they brought back Piper and Snuka. So it always seems like they're bringing somebody in. So in 1994, so you're going to have to kind of get in your way back machine, maybe go back to when you first started watching in 1988. Who would you have liked to have seen WWE inject into the 1994 Royal Rumble match? And I'll let you think on it for a second. Or do you have someone?
An easy one for me.
Okay.
My favorite guy way back when was Don Morocco, The Rock.
Wow.
I would have loved to have seen him come back, and I'm not sure what kind of shape he would have been in at the time, but yeah, he was always my favorite back then.
You know what? You're not going to believe this. That is actually who I was thinking as well.
No way.
I'm telling you, yeah.
We didn't set this up, folks.
No, this was, yeah. You know, because Don Morocco to me was also one of those guys. He wasn't my favorite, but he's certainly one of those guys, I think. And I know he had a run with the Intercontinental title and then his babyface run after, you know, he kind of teamed up with superstar Billy Graham. I think was very underrated, and I feel like he still had a lot of potential. And obviously, you know, hearing reports toward that his end tenure in WWE when he left, he wrestled a little bit on the indies, and I think he wrestled for the ECW when it was Eastern Championship Wrestling, but after that he didn't really do a whole lot more. I think he did a WCW maybe this year as well in 1994. I think he wrestled Snuka at their Spring Stampede show. It was at Return of the Legends. I think that happened. I could be wrong on that, but yeah, Morocco was, yeah, really. What did you like him better? I guess by the time you started watching, though, he was probably a good guy.
Yeah, he was. He was with superstar Billy Graham, wore the tie-dye.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I thought he was the greatest back then.
The original Rock, too.
That's right.
Yeah, he was a legend for sure. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that for sure as well, so.
Well, I can only imagine that he's enjoying his retirement in Hawaii.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. That would be the place.
That place once you get over there.
That would be the place to be for sure. Alrighty, give us another number here.
All right, here we go. It is number two.
Number two. And we talked, I think we were talking before we started recording. You went back and watched the actual Rumble match itself. The question is, what is the best match on this card? Which I think it's probably going to be the Royal Rumble. But let's run down real quick. The other matches on the card were the Hart brothers, Bret and Owen Hart, against the Quebecers for the WWE Tag Team titles. Yokozuna and Undertaker in that casket match. Tatanka versus Bam Bam Bigelow. And then Razor Ramon defending the Intercontinental title against IRS, which I had forgotten the finish of this one. IRS actually won the match by cheating, and then Shawn Michaels had come out and hit Ramon with the other championship belt. This is when they were both staking claim, and this led to the WrestleMania 10 ladder match. But
yeah, it seemed to recall it had some kind of screwy finish.
Yeah.
I have not watched those matches since the actual pay-per-view itself.
I was in the same boat. Ramon ends up another referee. I think it was Joey Morella had made the original count. Then Dave Hebner comes out, tells him what happened, and as they're discussing it, Ramon attacks IRS from behind, puts him in the razor's edge, and ends up beating him, which, like I said, leads us to Shawn versus Razor in one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. So I'm going to go out on a limb. My pick is the, you know, 99% of the time, the Royal Rumble match itself is going to be my favorite. May not be the best match, but it'll definitely be my favorite.
Yeah, the Rumble matches are always fun, but you know what? I'm going to say the Yokozuna Undertaker match. Just if nothing else, just for the post-match spectacle.
So talk to me about that, because what did you think about that? You know, because you, as you're watching this, you know, going back and watching it in hindsight, it's like
I'm still confused 25 years later.
Okay, good, good.
I remember watching it, and I looked over at my buddy. I was like, what did we just watch? We'd never seen anything like that before. I'm not sure what they were trying to accomplish with all that. But, yeah, it was just so strange that, I mean, yeah, how can you not remember it. I mean, they definitely made an impression.
And I think if I remember correctly, this was Undertaker was taking some time off. He had been going pretty much since 1990 when he arrived at Survivor Series. He had pretty much been going nonstop with the company, and I think they were giving him some time off. I don't know that he was injured per se, but it was an interesting way to write him off, and an interesting time right before WrestleMania 10, where admittedly, business is kind of, you know, it's not great.
Taking a downturn, I think, by this point.
And Undertaker, you know, he had that one quick run as champion after beating Hogan in 91, like 6 days or 8 days, whatever the length of that reign was. But he was still on the upper echelon of superstars. So to take him out of the mix for WrestleMania 10, I think was an interesting decision. If it was just to give him rest, you know, maybe have him appear at 10 and wrestle and then give him the time off. Because I don't think he came back until SummerSlam that year.
Yeah, SummerSlam, the Undertaker versus Undertaker, which was something else.
Yeah, he was involved in some pretty, I don't want to say ridiculous, but some pretty silly, fun, I guess, very campy 1990s style wrestling angles, WWF style at least.
Absolutely. It's funny to think about how we remember him so fondly, but yet he was involved in all these, you know, crazy storylines back then. I guess, you know, as kids, we didn't think much of it. But
and it's funny, too, because, you know, you think, and it kind of goes along with his character with the Buried Alive matches. You know, you think he is the lock to win these types of matches, the casket matches, but I think there's a lot of times where he comes up short in the casket matches, whether it was the one against Shawn a few years later at the 98 Rumble. Of course, this one with Yoko. I know Goldust beat him in a couple of casket matches. Mankind interfered in those. But you always kind of expect The Undertaker to win. And Royal Rumble also has been dubbed one of those events for The Undertaker, other than the year he won the actual Rumble, which I think was 2007.
Seven,
you know, he ends up coming up short a lot of times, you know, losing against Shawn. He had the 96 match against Brett. Vader beat him 1 year. And, you know, so you look at The Undertaker as this great guy. But
Gonzalez 1 year came out and eliminated him.
That's right, yeah.
93.
That was at 93, yeah, that led to their big matchup. But, yeah, that's another one of those angles. It's like, what the heck? Well, Luke, give us another number here.
All right, here we go. This is number four.
Number four. Which winner would face off against WWE champion Daniel Bryan? Obviously, in 1994, there were co-winners, Lex Luger and Bret Hart, the first and only time that WWE has done this. So to get to WrestleMania that year, what they did is set up Bret Hart and Lex Luger would do a coin toss on Monday Night Raw to determine who would face Yokozuna first.
The dreaded coin toss.
Yes. So the premise was, if Bret ended up losing the coin toss, he would have to face Owen Hart in a match. Or if Luger lost the coin toss, he would have to face Crush in a match. So they would each have two matches that night. So I like the way they did this. It played out very well. It was a great story to me. Instead of doing
it worked out well.
Because today, in today's world, I think we probably would have ended up with a triple threat match instead of
absolutely.
Yeah. So this worked out really well. It was, like we said, first time they've done this, and it's the only time they've done it. So obviously, though, we now have two quote-unquote world champions with the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar and the WWE Champion Daniel Bryan. As we record this, of course, this may have changed, but who would you have put in there for WrestleMania against Daniel Bryan, Bret Hart or Lex Luger?
Got to go back to Bret Hart.
Yeah.
I think that would have been, they could have told a great story, I think, given the time. Yeah, without a doubt, got to go with Bret.
So who wins a match between these two if you put 1994 Bret versus 2019 Daniel Bryan?
Oh, boy, another good one. You know what? I'd give it to Bryan.
Yeah.
I'd give it to Bryan. I think he edges out the win.
I am 100% in agreement with you on that. I think Daniel Bryan is one of those guys who to me, over the last decade, you know, when you look back in kind of the chunks of time of wrestling, I would say he has been the most versatile and the most adept. You know, they throw him something and he takes it, runs with it.
Oh, it hits a home run every time.
Every time. And I have no doubt. And that's not to discredit Brett, who's obviously one of the greatest of all time. But Daniel Bryan, to me, just has that intangible that he gets it and the fans get him. And even as a bad guy now, you know, he's just doing such amazing work. And I'm glad that things ended the way things have come to where they have come for him, with being able to get back into the ring and wrestle once again and be the champion and potentially head into WrestleMania as the champion too.
Absolutely, and I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see the most recent promo he cut. I think they're at the arena at the Rumble, at the Superstore. If you haven't seen it yet, go and watch it. You won't regret it. It's great.
I will definitely check that. It's about, he just wants your money, right?
That's it. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I saw the headline on. So who do you think will win the match between he and AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble? Or who has won, do you think, as we pre-record?
Yeah, I guess after the fact. I'm hoping that they give Daniel Bryan a long run with the belt.
Yeah.
At least through WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. All right, well, I think we're about halfway through, so let's do another question.
All right. Next one. Number eight.
This is the first Royal Rumble after Hulk Hogan left the WWE. Now, they were obviously trying to build Lex Luger up as a potential replacement, making him that All-American gimmick in the summer of 93, going up against Yokozuna. So why do you think the Luger as Hogan's replacement didn't work?
Boy, you know, I'm wondering that myself. I was, especially after that SummerSlam 93 finish, I mean, they just seemed to cut the guy's legs off. I think, had they gone with him, I think it would have worked.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't know, maybe it was, you know, from what you read or what you hear, Lex didn't have the best of attitudes backstage, and maybe that had something to do with it. You know, I don't know, but that'd be my guess. But yeah, I'm still kind of disappointed they didn't go all the way with Lex. I think he could have been a good champion.
I agree. I think that, you know, after listening to other podcasts and reading reports, Lex was not necessarily a wrestling fan himself, and he wasn't totally all in with some of the things. And the gimmick in particular, with him being, you know, Mr. USA, was traveling the country in that big Lex Express bus, and apparently there were some issues with him doing that. I personally would have rather, instead of, you know, they always say, instead of trying to be the next so-and-so, just be the first version of you. And I think that's where they failed with Luger as well. And he was a natural heel, I think, backstage. I loved the narcissist character, and I think that they could have played off of that and made him, you know, once Yoko lost the belt back to Brett, you know, Brett and Lex, you know, Lex as the bad guy with the narcissist gimmick could have gone a long way, but for, you know, whatever reason, they just decided they wanted, you know, for 8 years or 10 years at that point, we'd had this big muscle guy who loved America and the fans rallied behind him. I think fans, too, were getting sick of that, and they weren't buying into Luger as that Hogan replacement.
Yeah, keep hanging with him, and he could have been a great heel champion as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Luke, give us one more.
All right. This will be number three.
All right, so we asked earlier about who would face Daniel Bryan. Of Lex Luger and Bret Hart, who would you put in there against Universal Champion Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania?
Let's go with Lex on this one.
Okay.
Just power versus power.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Lex, for And again, I think a lot of people are critical of Lex, overly critical, sometimes unfairly critical of him as a performer back in the day.
Yeah, I think so too. Lex gets a bad rap.
He definitely could have been a great. I think a match between he and Brock, as you said, power versus power would have been great. However, you know, Brock is that rare beast, that monster, if you will, who, especially in the last several years, has just kind of eaten the competition alive. So I think Lesnar wins this match if you put 1994 Lex against 2019 Brock. But if you would have put like that 88, 89 Lex in there, you know, that I just felt like the NWA, WCW, in those early days when Lex first came in, just had him booked perfectly. So
yeah.
I think it would have been a better match with Luger earlier on in his career. But who do you think would win this matchup?
I'm never going to bet against Lesnar.
Yeah.
Go with Lesnar every time.
Yeah, that's smart money.
In case he's listening.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I think we probably have a couple more questions
out there. Yeah, looks like we got
three left. Three left, all right.
Let's see what else we got. Oddly enough, 1 in 10 are still in here. That's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
All right, number six.
Number six. What current superstar on the WWE roster, and we'll throw NXT in there as well, would have done well in this Royal Rumble match?
In the 94 Rumble, let's see.
So we've got guys like Doink and Bam Bam Bigelow, Mabel, Shawn Michaels, of course Luger and Brett, Marty Jannetty, Adam Bomb. A blast from the past. Virgil.
Yeah, that? Yeah, Adam Bomb. Forgot about him. Let's go Adam Bomb.
Well, who from today's roster would do well in that match, do you think?
Oh, I've got you. Okay.
I was just throwing out some names that they'd be in there facing up against. Billy Gunn, a young Billy Gunn, is in this match too. Diesel, of course, Kevin Nash. I believe this was his Royal Rumble debut.
Now let's see from the current roster. How about Andrade Cien Almas? I kind of like his style. Just kind of been brushing up on the shows here the last couple of weeks, and I tell you what, those matches he's had with Mysterio, unbelievable.
Yeah, I've read a lot. I haven't watched as much since cutting the cord with cable. I watch quick highlights usually, but yeah, he's getting a lot of buzz and a lot of talk going around him. So that is obviously a good choice. What do you like about him?
Well, you know, he's just different.
Yeah.
As far, you know, just like not the cookie cutter. You know, that you see carded out every week, and that's one of the reasons why I kind of stopped watching. You know, I'm not really up on the current show as much as I used to watch it, but yeah, I tell you what, if you get a chance, watch those matches with Mysterio.
Definitely going to check that out. I'm going to go with a semi-local boy and Ricochet, who is in NXT, and again, I feel like NXT obviously is a whole different beast and a whole different animal, but I feel like he does a lot of great things down there in NXT, and I think it's a matter of time before he gets called up to the roster. But to see him in there kind of bouncing around, and this Rumble, though, was a lot of big guys, a lot of the stronger, you know, you had the Steiner brothers in there as well, and obviously, as we mentioned, Diesel and Mabel and Crush, and so I don't know how he would have fared against the big strong competition like that, but just to kind of see him in there and having an opportunity to shine would have been a lot of fun, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's fun to watch. I will watch NXT every now and then when I get a chance. And I think, was it the ladder match last year before WrestleMania? Just unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't remember the date of it, but yeah, it was that for the champion, when they all competed for the championship.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
So we're down to 1 or 10.
1 or 10, all right. And we've got number 10.
Number 10. Okay, so we talked about the 92 Royal Rumble being our favorite. So how would you compare or rate this Royal Rumble to 1992's Royal Rumble? Like, where would you – I don't necessarily – how do you stack it up against this one, but also in your overall, I guess, numbering, how do you rank it?
I think it stacks up well. The only thing I think that hurts the 94 Rumble is the lack of star power. You know, mm-hmm. Like I said, we had Lex, we had Brett, but other than really Macho Man, there weren't any Shawn Michaels, but you could say he wasn't really established as a, you know, tippy-top guy at that time. Diesel was finally coming around, but as far as the action goes, I mean, you know, you had Diesel at the beginning throwing out everybody,
yeah.
And then the ring fills up, and it really doesn't let up until the very end. So, yeah, it's one of my favorites. Maybe not it's quite as good as the 92 Rumble, but it definitely ranks right up there with it.
Yeah, I would definitely put it in my top five just because of the finish and kind of the story that it told and leading to WrestleMania and this uniqueness of it. And I know some people have kind of crapped on the idea of co-winners and not really establishing a winner, but for that era and that time, it was something different. This was the seventh Royal Rumble. And every year we had seen, you know, it was pretty cut and dry. You know, of course, Hogan wins those 2 years that he wins it. And, you know, it was always the guy wins. And then, you know, a year before that, they throw in the stip that the winner goes on to face the champion at WrestleMania. So I liked the idea of kind of tweaking things up and making them a little different. So I would definitely say, you know, 92 is obviously my favorite. 97 I hold in high regard, and then 2004 are probably my top three.
Yeah, 04 was definitely great. You know, I'm a big fan of the 2001 Rumble with Stone Cold. Kane, I think, eliminated 11 guys.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
It was in there for almost 50 minutes. That was another one of my favorites. But yeah, 04, 01, 94, of course, 92 is probably at the top of everybody's list.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. So that leaves us.
Kevin looks like, yeah, number one.
Who would you declare as the MVP of the 1994 Royal Rumble and why? So I'm going to cheat a little bit on my answer, but I'll let you not cheat, but I'll put it this way. It doesn't have to necessarily be someone, or it doesn't have to be from the Rumble match itself, the overall card. Who would you say kind of shined?
I'm going to the match itself, and I'm sure our answers will probably be the same. I got to go with Diesel. Mm-hmm. I mean, they gave him such a push here. He just looked like a monster. I mean, I don't know how many guys he threw out. It had to have been at least six or seven. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
But I don't know that. I don't know how long he had been with the company at that point. But,
he hadn't been there very long because I think he came in like the summer of 93.
93, yeah.
As Shawn Michaels' bodyguard. It might have been, I'm trying to think when he, because in 93, yeah, Shawn wrestled Tatanka at WrestleMania 9, and Diesel wasn't, because he was with Luna then. And then it was probably later that summer leading up to, because then Shawn got hurt for a bit, and that's where the whole controversy with the IC title came into play, and when Diesel won, or I'm sorry, Razor Ramon won the Intercontinental title, and that's where Shawn came back then. Because Shawn, they brought Shawn back in, which, yeah, thinking back now,
around Survivor Series.
Yeah, Shawn came back at Survivor Series 93 to replace Lawler, who was out because of the accusations that he was facing. So,
that's right.
But I don't remember Diesel being at 93 Survivor Series. So, it had to have been around that time, though, that Diesel came in.
You know what? I think he was in the opening match at the Survivor Series in 93.
That's right. That's right.
I remember him getting beat with the elbow drop.
That's right. It was, yeah, it was that mismatch of competitors. But,
yeah,
you're absolutely right about that. So, yeah, he was in there 17 minutes.
It made him look like $1 million. And, without a doubt, he's my MVP for the 94 Rumble.
And I believe that would have been, at that point, he was then the record holder for the most eliminations, as we mentioned, at seven. I'm going outside the box with my answer, and I'm picking Owen Hart. And I'm basing it on the tag team match that he and Bret Hart were in against the Quebecers, because as we mentioned, that 93 Survivor Series, a lot of seeds being planted with the Harts specifically, back at that event. They were in that Family Feud match against Shawn Michaels and Jerry Lawler's Knights. For whatever reason, they kept the Knight gimmick going on, but Owen was the only Hart brother to lose, to get pinned in that match, and it kind of set off sour grapes, and it set up a little, because he runs into Bret and gets knocked down, and Shawn pins him, so it plants that seed, and then they make amends over Christmas, or so says Vince McMahon on commentary, and now they've formed together, and they're united, and they're going to win the WWF Tag Team titles against the Quebecers. Well, they end up stopping the match because of Bret's knee being injured. And that was a good story, too, leading into the Rumble match itself. But Owen full-fledged turns on Bret then, and it sets up a wonderful match in the WrestleMania 10 opener. And then, of course, the feud when Bret wins the championship, the two feud for the title, and that cage match at SummerSlam. And then Survivor Series 94, where Owen cost Bret the championship against Bob Backlund. It was a great story, and those seeds being planted back at Survivor Series, but then it kind of coming to fruition at the 94 Royal Rumble. Yeah, so,
and just you describing that, I mean, the match itself was great, the storyline was phenomenal. That's what I miss about wrestling today. You know, it's just, I don't know, if they could bring some of that back, maybe I'd watch a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, you can't beat those old storylines.
Absolutely, a great time in wrestling, and we always, you know, I think we also kind of look back fondly with at nostalgic things like that. So,
colored glasses,
so 10 or 15 years from now, I wonder how we'll look back at the 2019 Royal Rumble. And Luke, as I mentioned, we're obviously recording this before the Rumble itself. In 2019, the show will drop the day after. But who is your pick? Who do you want to win, and who do you think will win the women and the men Royal Rumble matches?
Oh boy, the women's match, I don't know, I gotta think Charlotte Flair's gonna, it has to be a lock, right?
Right.
I don't know, they could throw us a curveball. As far as the men's match, you know what, I think it'd be good to see Drew McIntyre, just a new name on top.
I like both those choices.
Let's go with Drew.
I like both those choices.
I still insist that the best thing that could happen for the Rumble now is have an underdog win.
Yeah.
You know, because every year there's only just a handful of guys that, you know, have a shot at winning it.
Right.
You know, what if they had, well, what was it, 2011 when Santino almost won?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how crazy we were all going, thinking, oh my gosh, he's actually going to win this thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, have a dark horse win. I think that'd be great. But, you know, realistically, Drew McIntyre. Let's go with him.
Well, I like the idea too, and it's been talked about on a lot of different podcasts and speculation that Becky loses the SmackDown Women's Championship match against Asuka, attacks Carmella, who is number 30 for the Women's Rumble, and takes her spot, Becky does, and then ends up winning the Women's Royal Rumble match.
All right, I like it.
I've heard even more far-out speculation, and I'll shout out to Asa Gray over at Pro Wrestling Unscripted, because if it does happen, he called it. He's the first and only person I've heard to actually say this. Instead of that, Becky attacks R-Truth, takes him out of the men's Royal Rumble match, and the man, Becky Lynch, wins the Royal Rumble. Obviously, I don't see Becky Lynch versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, or Daniel Bryan for that matter. I just don't think WWE is ready to go there yet, but
hey,
I like the idea. Yeah. So I like Becky Lynch as a potential winner. And I, you know, you talk about unpredictability. I'm a huge Matt Riddle fan on NXT. Would love to see him in the Rumble and to win it. And with his MMA background going in to WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar, I think would be a fun match. I don't know, though, that Riddle has been around in WWE enough to be have that swelling of support from the WWE universe. So that's my wannabe pick. A lot of people thinking Seth Rollins is going to win, but I also like the idea of Drew McIntyre. I think, like you said, throwing somebody kind of new into the championship mix is never a bad thing.
Oh, absolutely not.
Well, Luke, is there anything else you want to get out there, say, or talk about before? I know you're kind of on social media with Facebook, but you're not... you know, you're not promoting anything, I don't guess, huh?
That's it. I'm afraid technology has passed me by. Not really. And, you know, this will drop after the Rumble. But for anybody listening, I'm telling you, if you add points to the game, just put a little money in the pot and, you know, get together with your friends, it takes it to a whole new level. So, try it out and you won't be disappointed.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, as Luke said, the 2019 Royal Rumble is in the books. So for 2020, take a page out of Luke's book and Amy's book and spice up your Royal Rumble party. It's always a good time. Luke, I really do appreciate you being a part of the show this week.
Hey, anytime, Kevin. I'm glad to be on.
Absolutely. And friends, we will be back next week. Also, don't forget, check out prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents. If you're listening to this on Monday morning, there is a sale going on. It ends at noon Central Time, so you can check that out. And also, check out jitterymonkey.com, the shop store. Lots of great merchandise from Positive Cynicism, the Five Heart Podcast, Nerds United, and of course, my123cents. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.